T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace, where changemakers work, create, and lead. Today we are fortunate to have with us Lorna Little, who serves as the Executive Director of St. Agnes Home. She is an author of the book Mom's the Word, a licensed clinical social worker, community activist, and cultural diversity trainer. She is a person who knows a lot about what it means to have healthy relationships, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So thank you, Lorna, for being here with us.
Thank you.
So why don't you start out by giving us a little background? Where did you grow up, and how did you come to this thing called social work?
Well, I was born in London, England, but I've lived in the Hartford area for the majority of my life. It's funny. I was always the kid that was kind of the mediator. I was always worried about people, wanted to help other people. And I always also had an interest kind of, I had an experience for this program I did years ago. It was similar to the Summer Youth Employment Program, where we did this program called Off the Wall. It was a television show. Everybody else was working tobacco, doing all these other things, and I kept waiting for my moment to come for where was my summer youth employment job going to be, and they said, oh, you're going to be working doing a little television program. And I'm like, okay, I'm 15 years old thinking, all right, television. And we did a program called Off the Wall. And actually, ironically, one of the women who led the program was a social worker. And I don't know if you know TJ Mikulski, but it was his mom.
Wow.
Which we reconnected recently. But so I had those interests in me. That kind of spun something in me that I didn't even really know was there and spurned something in me. And then the social work. Make a long story short, I became a young mom and made a decision that I wasn't willing to do the traveling that is necessary for television work, you know, going here and there and doing all these jobs. I picked the social work side to focus on. And so started at InfoLine, worked there. That's why I know a lot about a lot of resources early on. And then moved my way into working in EAP program management work, and then went on to move to get my master's degree in social work. Sometimes you have the skill set, you're doing everything, but you need to go to that next level, and so I'm glad I did. And then St. Agnes, it was kind of a destination spot that was destined to happen, because the way it all came together was nothing but destiny. And here I was finding myself in a place where I was a young mother and able to go and work. So social work has always been a part of me. Then I went on to get the training and then find myself in a place where I'm using my personal and professional experience. And I did diversity work for many years, working and doing organizational assessments, doing a lot of that. And it's all human work, and it's all connected to us looking at who we are and being the best in that environment and looking at those barriers and how we break those down.
So what did you discover by being a social worker and an intern at St. Agnes?
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I came in and wanting to do the best I can, but also wanting to look at change. I came in seeing, okay, we can do this better, we can do that better, and being delicate about it. Because when you come in a certain level, and going in as one level and then going to, you have to take it kind of slow. But I learned that I got to know the staff and the people and got to know what they really needed and what was necessary for success on that intern level as I went in. And then watching that I kind of knew how to best relate to people and understand the dynamics of an organization. And the kids, really the young people, taught me a lot.
And so when you think about what you've learned from your own life about being a young mother and your experience of working at a place like St. Agnes, experiencing young women who are trying to discover this thing called relationships, what were some of the foundational things that came to your mind, that came to your awareness when it comes to the things you wish you knew and the things you wish the young women knew about relationships?
Yeah, the healthy relationships for me, It's a difficult thing to kind of show and express to them. But you have to, first of all, show it in the dealings that you have with them. Because we're talking about relationships, especially between, you know, the young men and women that are connected. But we start with how we deal with them. Because unfortunately, many of them don't have experience with healthy relationships. There's always some type of, you know, one up. You know, there's either the abusive relationship or someone where that child was parentified and they're used to being the parent. And so we start out by letting them know and building their core of themselves. Because unfortunately, when you even just sit back, you learn a lot by just sitting back in the room and listening to them talking about their boyfriend or this person that they've been in a relationship. So we start out by saying there is an opportunity for you to have a healthy relationship, because some of them don't believe that. I get what I get type of mentality. They don't say it in that way, but by their behavior, you can see that some of them don't think they deserve to have a safe and healthy relationship.
And one of the things that you said is the building of relationships starts with a person's relationship with themselves. Mm-hmm. And so if they were raised in a setting where they didn't see a healthy relationship between their mom, their mm-hmm. dad, or mm-hmm. what was around them, or they weren't treated in a way that let them know they had value, it's really hard to get to that place where you have a relationship with the self. So how do you help the young women have that positive relationship with themselves?
Well, we work hard, and first in terms of starting to, as we build the relationship, we're constantly giving messages in subconscious and conscious of you are valued, you are seen, you are heard. So even in times of where they're, you know, having their moment, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be upset. So we're constantly trying to pour into positive messages in them of hope, because there's a lot of hopelessness. You can't have a good relationship with someone else where you just feel hopeless. You don't even know if you want to be around.
And socially, I would think for young women, there's so many negative messages about the self. It has to be really hard for young women to feel good about themselves.
So you have, you know, the relational aggression that goes on. You know, there's bullying and there's relational, you know, aggression. And a lot of times with young women, that's the thing. You know, oh, Shelly, I kind of like those glasses, you know, those little things that people say, well, that's not a big deal. We love to say sticks and stones don't break my bones. You know, names will never hurt. That's not true.
The mean girls syndrome.
The mean girls. And so they're dealing with that. They're dealing with the fact that they're a mother, that they're pregnant. Sometimes the inappropriate names that young women are called when they have a baby early. They're dealing with the perceptions when those perceptions aren't always true. So we're constantly working with them, providing guidance, making sure that they're dealing with some of this stuff in therapy to talk about. And we share experiences. We don't cross that personal professional line, but they'll say things like, well, don't you, you know, because we talk about dealing in abusive or violent relationships. And so someone will be talking about, well, he was yelling at me and I had to tell him so-and-so. And we then chime in and say, you know, but he really shouldn't speak to you in that way. That is, you know, verbal abuse. That can, well, miss, don't you and your husband ever argue? Or, you know, they try to put it, and you don't go into too much. But I do say, you know, I would never accept that type of behavior, because that is not something that's healthy. You know, so we do try to model, but we sit down and have groups and workshops about healthy relations. We show what it is and we show what it's not.
And it's so important for young women to have a sense of what it is to have healthy relationships with themselves
yes.
and with their partners.
Yes.
We're talking with Lorna Little, who is the executive director of St. Agnes Home, and she is a clinical social worker. And we're talking about healthy relationships. We'll be back after the break.
Now that I got your attention. Yeah. Hey. see walking takes too long, but I say with walking you can't go wrong. Why should you rush your way through life? You won't get very far running all the time.
Look at me, I'm trying every day. I fall down, make mistakes, get back up, try again. Next time that you see me,
but I set fire to the rain. Watch it pour as I touch your face. Let it burn while I cry, cause I heard it screaming out your name.
Volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs. Excuse me. Hi. What do you think this place needs?
I'd like to see more parking.
More playgrounds.
Free movies.
That's easy. Better restaurants.
And you, what do you think this place needs?
This place? More ice cream trucks.
Okay. How about you?
Wi-Fi everywhere?
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
Oh, that's way better.
Now that you mention it.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org. Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lorna Little, who is the executive director of St. Agnes Home. And we're talking about healthy relationships, especially when it comes to young women. And when we think about body image as a part of this understanding of self, we know that for a lot of young women, they're struggling with this body. And then imagine, and you know this very well, being pregnant on top of it, dealing with the body image issues. So talk a little bit about how you help young women have a sense of themselves and their bodies, especially in this time period of adolescence.
Yeah, we do a couple of things. I mean, it's a whole approach, but it's even just wondering, trying to find out how they see themselves. And it's interesting because you'll have someone that, you know, is attractive, smart, doing well. And in her mind, you know, in that young age, oh, I look terrible, everything's wrong. And so we've done even exercises where we have them draw out their bodies. And everybody's not, you know, going around the room where they're sketching out what you look like. How do you look? And you gain a lot of insight from the way they draw their shape, their figure, their mind, showing them the baby outside of themselves. They don't need to be able to draw, but it's just drawing and putting words around them. And then having some other young women, in an affirming way, go and put words around that other person. And just having a conversation, you know, I didn't see myself that way. I didn't know that. You know, people are looking to you in a positive way, and we're trying to bring that positivity out. But then if we look and we see, well, wait a minute now, we didn't realize this person saw themselves in that way. So then we start to approach, okay, these are some areas that we need to address and support. And talking to them about where that stuff comes from, you know, not in a way that says, okay, let's, you know, cycle that dynamic and, you know, sitting back and laying down and having a couch session of saying, okay, well, your mother said this and then that. But just in conversation, being able to bring out, you know, I had a young woman that said that her mother told her on a regular basis that she was fat and ugly. I mean, I don't mean to use those words, but that's what she told her.
And that has an impact about how she feels about herself.
Exactly. And so we talked about, you know, we talk about and we try to break that down, that narrative down, just, you know, you're beautiful, you know, you're worthy. And it's not just saying it all the time. It's showing her and trying to make her feel her best and talking about health, because sometimes eating patterns fall into that mental cycle of what I think I am. And so it doesn't matter. I can eat and do what I want. And so we saw where some of that came from. And in working with them to feel the best about themselves, I tend to see that a lot of the young women feel, once again, that they're not worthy of a partner that treats them well, only because of what they've seen. And so we encourage, and we even try to talk to some of the partners, and that's a way for us to get at it as well.
And talk about that, the work that you do with many of the young fathers.
Yeah, yes.
When it comes to pregnant young women, people think about her getting services, but St. Agnes also provides services for the young fathers.
Yes, I've had many a young dad sit on my couch in my office. We've talked about job, skills, employment. But even when they've had situations where they said, well, I'm not going to go out with him anymore because he has a girlfriend in the community. And sometimes they don't even know that that's true. You know, when you're a teen, remember Hotline, now it's called social media, and someone posts that they took a picture with someone else, and now they think that that's their date, and it may or may not be. But we'll sit down and talk about, you know what, you two need to have communication. Accurate communication, valid communication between each other. And even if you two decide that you are not going to be in partnership at this time, you both have a child together. And so let's see how we can go about making sure that your child gets the priority. And that I had the young man, he came and did visits with the baby in my office. I said, because we're not going to do the back and forth. That child needs your love regardless of if you and the mother are going to be together. And the same thing with the young woman. And we've done sessions where we're almost like couples counseling, you know, because we're trying to impress upon them, you guys are young. Things can change from the time you're 15 to the time you're 30.
And it is a journey.
Yes, it's a journey, and you may or not be together, but both of you need to look at what is healthy for yourself. What is going to make the best sense? But then there's this child there that regardless of what's going on between you two. And so we've had a marriage right on site at St. Agnes. We had a couple get married and they wanted to do it in St. Agnes. They had already left. They had the child. But they said they thought that that was a special place for them. And they actually came and got married in St. Agnes.
Powerful.
So, you know, our thing is we want our young women to be healthy. Domestic violence, abuse is something that we talk to them about. That is behavior, what it looks like. We had a young woman, I remember, he was always calling. And, you know, it definitely felt like early signs of somebody who might be involved in being abuser and domestic violence or the perpetrator, or the language, I know it changes all the time, or intimate abuse, as they call it. And we said, something's not right.
And so how did you help her see that?
We had to, and you know, I know some people may or may not agree. I'm going to tell you, they tend to like movies and certain things. And pulling out some of these movies, they have videos that you can show. We buy all of those. But sometimes they feel that they're fake. You know what I mean? But honestly enough, Lifetime has some value. And we showed a movie and just talked about it, not just with her initially, with the group. And the girls started saying, wow, that's not right. He's like always calling. But they were talking about the guy on the movie, mm-hmm. not her man.
Right.
And she began to see and said, that's like so-and-so, privately afterwards. That's like so-and-so. Yeah, it is. You saw what happened to the young lady in there. Yeah, that's why we're talking to you. We're concerned. We understand it feels like love and it feels good. And it feels like this person is so into you and on top of everything. But that's a lot. And that can lead to danger. And you need to be aware that this is not normal behavior. And when someone's looking for love and felt like they haven't had love in such a long time, it's really difficult for them to feel that. It really is.
And young people are so vulnerable to these things, especially young women that may not have gotten the love that they needed in their families.
Yes. And let's not forget that there are people out there that are, I call them professionals, that are trying to seek out these young women. They're looking for young women that have that vulnerable state. You know, these people who are involved with sex trafficking and, you know, human trafficking. That's what they do. They're groomed, and they groom the young woman. They know they're vulnerable and they treat them so nice and so well. And
you know, at first.
Oh, yeah. Early on, and buy them things and take them places. And then soon as they see that connection is made, what do? They then begin to abuse them and have them involved in activities. And so we always make sure our girls are aware of the fact that there are people like that out there. And it's really sad when you see them utilize, you know, a grandmother figure and all of that to get, you know, young women who may be in foster care or just in need of a place to stay. We talk about that as well, that is very... Anytime you see that something just feels just too perfect, they happen to show up and, oh, do you want to come over? You know, we play those things out. Role play is a very good thing to do.
And you want to be able to prepare the young women to have healthy, positive relationships.
Yes.
We're speaking with Lorna Little, who is the executive director of St. Agnes Home, and we're talking about healthy relationships. And we'll be back after the break. Listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches.
When everyone else around could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell you one more time, one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one.
Hey! He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah.
Everyone else around
could only see.
Could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When folk walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah. Oh.
When everyone else around,
yeah.
Could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, see, he is mine, and I am. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Help me sing it.
Yeah, girl.
Said that he is mine.
I had a witness tonight. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this: what did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help up in here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time: what did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you'd never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did he see?
The best.
I said, 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 what did he see? Can I sing the verse one time? Listen to this, y'all. I love this. I love this. See, he's mine, and I'm his. It doesn't matter what I did, but he only sees me who I am. Ooh, Lord. Yeah. He's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me who I am. Sing it one time. We're going to go past this. He is mine. Oh, oh, oh.
He's mine. And I'm his.
Ooh.
It doesn't matter what I did.
only sees me for who I am.
He only sees me for who I am.
And the reason why he sees me for who I am, because he created me in his image and his likeness. He's mine.
He's mine.
I am his.
It doesn't matter what I need.
He only sees me.
He only sees me for who I am.
He saw the best.
He saw the best.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for the mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org/CT. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. It is the sweetest name.
And lift your hands and say it.
It is a sweet name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, oh, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just lying. Shut up in my bones.
Oh,
hey, the Holy Ghost is moving here.
Yes, it is.
And it just won't leave me alone. Oh, there's something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something about the name Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Something about the name Jesus.
Oh, I realize
it is
a sweet
name.
Sweeter than honey.
Oh,
yeah. From
dreaming. Best thing that's ever happened to me,
yes,
y'all.
Yes.
Feet. What would you do with that kind of possibility? Would you strategize your future? Or get lost in the past? Will you fill it with stories? Or use it to empty your mind? Would you explore your spirituality? Or focus on improving your community? Will you use it to work late? Or just work it? Could you create lasting impressions? Or a brief, delicious one? Our vision for the 224? 30,000 square feet of endless possibilities.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lorna Little, who's the executive director of St. Agnes Home, and we're talking about healthy relationships. I'm sure that we have some listeners that are home now thinking about some of the conversations they haven't yet had with their daughters and their sons. So first, starting with the daughters, what are some of the things that maybe you as a young mother wish that somebody had told you, or from your experience, you know, you make it a point to talk to the young women about? How do we keep them safe?
Yeah, I think, first of all, letting people know, letting our young women and men know, our bodies are our bodies. You know, we have the capacity, even under peer pressure, even under, you know, where we think, oh, well, this person says they want to have sexual relations, they want to do this. You can say no. And that's where I talk about the role playing. A lot of times we talk to kids about things, but role playing scenarios with them gives that kind of muscle memory to remember when they've done that in that role play, to say when someone's talking to you, oh, come on. And whether it's about substance or whether it's about, you know, come on. And you're saying, no, I don't really want to go. And they're saying, oh, everybody's doing it, and so on and so forth. It's actually role playing that scenario. Not in full detail, but in terms of that, that's been helpful, because we've had some say, you know what, when you talked about what's going to happen, because my joke is, oh, those whispers in the air sound really good at the moment, But those whispers in the air can turn into a whole lot more when you're not prepared and ready. So it's a combination of understanding what you feel. Okay, we understand that's a normal feeling. But you have the capacity in terms of, at least with the sexual relations, to be able to make a decision to say, you know, I'm not ready for that at this moment. And that's a lot, what many times they haven't heard that. And also just having that frank conversation of what's going to happen. Some of the young people had sexual relations and had no idea that it would create a baby.
That's powerful that they could be in this age where there's so much exposure and yet still not know.
Yes.
And so that's part of the lesson that needs to be taught. So for so many parents, they're saying, well, I don't think I'm ready yet to have that birds and the bees conversation. What would you say?
Well, the reality is, and I say this, you know, they're going to have it with those that are uninformed. Just because you do not have a conversation with your child doesn't mean they're not going to have it with someone else. And I'd rather them have it with someone who can give them real, factual, accurate information than, you know, seventh grade friend Johnny or Jane who thinks so-and-so will happen and this is how you can get pregnant and this is how you can't. And, you know, and a lot of misinformation or watching it on the internet and all these things because they're so much open. Have the conversation. And I know the old school of thought, especially in our community, is if we talk about it, then all of a sudden somebody is going to want to do it.
Right.
And that is not accurate. You know, so I think having a conversation, you know, making sure that they care for themselves, knowing future impact that that would have on you if that happens. Because a lot of times people think, well, I remember talking to a young woman about, you know, making sure that, you know, she's prepared. She had a child now, wanting to make sure that she moves forward, you know, doesn't have subsequent children, all these different things. And she says, well, my mother had six kids and she's fine. And that mentality of fine, the mentality and understanding that what success and what fine looks like is important to healthy relationships. Because, yes, you will never denigrate or say anything negative about someone's parent. But what is fine in relativity to the scenario? Because you're staying with us in our program. You
and
know,
they don't understand the price paid by having
they
those
don't,
six children.
So just without, you know, being negative towards a parent or anything, because we would never do that. Just looking at what life could look like if you just had that one child and was able to move forward successfully, finish school, be able to get a job that would afford you, you know, the income that you need, be able to do all those things. So we try to show the successes of the young women who have had a child because we want them to see that it's not hopeless. But we also say, look at your latitude of where, I mean, you can go far if you continue to, you know, get your education. Be comfortable with yourself, your body, your mind, and get the help that you need to get there. It's really difficult for some them to see sometimes because of this mentality that, well, so-and-so, and they're fine. But defining fine for them is important in a healthy relationship.
Now, there might be somebody that's listening right now, and they have a young person at home. What's the age where you just start having the conversation?
Well, see, that what I would say is, and it's interesting, it's just like this show out, you know, the 13, what is the name of that? And I'm blanking on it, but it's like, what's the age the young woman that committed suicide?
Right. 13 reasons.
And, you know, it's that same question. People are like, well, what's the right age? It depends on the child, their emotional maturity, but I wouldn't wait too late. Because it goes back to what I'm saying about they're going to hear it from their friends. And unfortunately, young people are having relations younger and younger. And you don't want to wait till now you're having a conversation after when the conversation becomes, Mama, Daddy, I'm pregnant. And that can happen. So I see kids in middle school, that's where a lot of that talk is going on. And body conversation should happen way younger. Naming parts. The right parts really early on, good touch, bad touch. That's a conversation that doesn't happen. You know, knowing clearly who should be touching, who shouldn't be touching parts that shouldn't, and that you should say something. That needs to happen early.
And that is your body.
And it's your body. And it's your right to say, and kids don't learn that because we're afraid to talk about it in naming parts, so that if somebody can come and say, somebody touched XYZ, they're not talking about, you know, you who and all this stuff. You have to be able to do that with your child. But I think in that middle school age, so much is going on. And I know people say, oh, no. Let me tell you, I've heard from many kids that are having relations that early. And they're different types. They may not be, you know, full on, but you need to have that conversation. And it could be where they are, you know, like I said, emotionally, how mature they are. Some kids, I meet kids that are 16 that they're clueless about anything. They're not interested. But then you meet kids that are 14 that are like talking about things and you're like, what? You know.
But our job is to prepare them for a whole life.
Yes.
So if someone's listening now and they want to have more information on healthy relationships, what would you suggest they look for?
I think they should look for, especially, you know, faith-based and, you know, people have different belief systems. I think they should really sit down and talk with their child. Honestly, I think one of the things that we don't do is share enough about ourselves. I mean, no one wants to sit and have, you know, specific conversations with their child about their relations, but just the experiences, even saying, I didn't know, I didn't understand, or I thought, or, you know, I was in love, but that love didn't have to lead to that because I still could have said no, or, you know, just having those conversations. But there are materials out there, there are books out there, there are videos out there that can help you have that discussion. And if you're not even comfortable with that, even watching, like I said, that 16 and pregnant and saying,
great conversation,
what do you
starter.
What do you think about that? You know, look at, you know, this young woman, this is what happened. You know, what do you think? Because then at least you can know where your child's mind is. A lot of times we don't know where our child's mind is. And let's be honest, as parents, we want to think of our child in this box and, oh, so-and-so, we wouldn't do that and wouldn't do that. Oh, they don't even know about that. That's why you need to have the conversation. They know more than you think. And you want it framed appropriately and bringing your faith and what you believe into it in a way that meets where they are.
So if someone's listening now and they might be a part of a community group, I know that you're available for speaking engagements. How do they get in touch with you?
They can contact me. I have the easiest way is I'll give my personal email address, and it's LornasCorner1@AOL.com. Yes, I still have an AOL email address, but LornasCorner1@AOL.com. And the reason I talk about a lot of different things. I think women's empowerment for me is one of the areas, and that's because if the mothers and the women feel strong and strengthened and able to kind of just really know who they are, they can speak to their daughters that way.
Absolutely.
And just pass that down. We talk about generational things. I want to pass on positive generational issues. I want us to say, yes, I've handed down success to my child. I've handed down all the good things.
And we have to share those positive messages.
Yes, we do.
Lorna Little, we thank you for your service in the community.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shelley.
Nothing without you. ship without a sailor, moving aimlessly, tossed to and fro. I'm nothing without you, so breathe through me.
See, your ladder will be greater than your past.
Not your daddy!
listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace. Reach out to us and tell us what you think. Look for Rich Answers, the Conference of Churches, and me, Reverend Dr. Shelley Bess, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us, follow us, share us.